It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hey there, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
I hear it's your birthday and you have a new book and also a new mantra for folks who want to garden outdoors. And that mantra is stop tilling and turning and digging the soil. What's that all about?
Well, my birthday, of course, is the most special thing. But the book is even more special than that. All about no-dig gardening. The book is called The Complete Guide to No-Dig Gardening, and I'm going to take this opportunity to toot my horn a little bit, you might say. And the idea behind no-dig gardening is that you don't want to disrupt the soil. The soil has all kinds of microbes and structure to it that allows plants to grow really strongly. In fact, in a teaspoon of soil, you have more microbes in there than there are people on the planet. That's how many microbes are in the soil. So what we want to do is not only preserve that structure and those microbes, we want to build on it. And in no-dig gardening, that's what we're doing. We're adding compost. We're adding organic matter. We're doing all kinds of things so the plants grow better, the beds hold water better, you have less weeds, you have less pest problems, and you're sequestering carbon in the soil, which is helping with global warming. So there's lots of different things I cover in here. I talk about maintaining the beds. If you have a really weedy area, you might want to use a layer of cardboard under the bed or even some geotextiles. If you have moles and voles that get in your raised beds, you might want to use some hardware cloth underneath it. You can also take care of your plants a lot better and using some of these no-dig techniques like chop and drop, where you're chopping up the foliage of your plants that are healthy in the fall and just leaving them on the bed. You're not pulling out roots, disturbing the soil. So you're trying to always keep the soil healthy by keeping it covered either with your plants you're growing or cover crops that'll naturally die back, or organic matter like straw and chopped leaves in some of the old plants in your garden. I even cover things like straw bale garden, hugel culture, and keyhole gardening too. So it's definitely a book worth checking out, and you can find it online on my website and, of course, on the All Things Gardening page.
Well, visually, how are these sorts of gardens different? You know, we're used to things all in rows and neat and tidy. What does it look like when we don't till and turn and dig into the soil?
Well, we're usually talking about raised beds. So these could be structured raised beds, and they may look like regular raised beds. It's really all about how you're taking care of them and how you're building them. So they could be structured or they could be freestanding raised beds. And if you're doing the layering method where you're laying organic matter, it's almost like creating a compost pile and it breaks down. But the key is that instead of turning any of this stuff, each spring you're just putting a layer of compost on top. You're working it right on there, putting your seeds and your transplants right into that soil so they go down into that rich soil beneath it.
Let's move on to a couple of questions. The first comes from Kate in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Kate asks, we've got two piece plants that are fairly long-lived, healthy, they like low light that they're in, they're not overwatered, and Kate says they used to produce flowers but have stopped doing so for months. Do you have suggestions?
So if you have the peace lily, Kate, thanks for the question. It probably sounds like it's not getting enough light, so you might want to consider moving it to a different location where it gets a little more light because it used to flower but now it doesn't. Another possibility, of course, is to repot it with some fresh potting soil if it's been there for many years, and to fertilize it. You know, a lot of people don't think about fertilizing houseplants regularly, but from spring to fall, you should be doing that. And it may only be every other week or so, but giving it a little more fertility might help those flowers come back.
This next question comes from Craig in Stockbridge. And Craig actually gave us a call to ask this.
And I wondered what kind of a yellow rose is hardy enough to survive here and do well. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Craig, for the question about the yellow roses. So yes, there are some varieties that will do well here. Yellow roses are tend to be a little more tender than other colored roses, but there are some good ones to try. One that I see all the time is an old-fashioned species called Harrison's Yellow. It's one of the first blooming roses in the early summer, beautiful cascading canes on it, and nice small little yellow flowers on it. Very tough plant, very hardy plant. Another one that you might want to try if you have a little more protected spot is a David Austin rose called Graham Thomas. I know a number of different gardeners in the Champlain Valley especially have been able to grow that one, so you might want to give that one a try. And if you're looking for a real tough rose, there's one from the Morden Research Station in Manitoba. You know it's hardy if it's grown there. It's called Sunrise, and this is a shrub rose, a single-petaled shrub rose, but it's a yellowish color and a very tough rose.
Thanks so much for your questions, and if you've got any more for Charlie, send them to us at vpr.org. Search for All Things Gardening. And looking out for next week, we're going to talk about growing herbs indoors. So also send your questions about how to grow culinary herbs. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.